All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Hey 35, and we are picking up on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis 34b. So remember, again, we're going to pick up in the middle of a very interesting sugya regarding the concept of the point that the Gemara that we were focusing on was the discussion that the kohen begins to do the avoda, the regular kohen begins to do the avoda, then what happens? He hands off the blood to a apostle. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that halacha lemaisa, the apostle just has to hand it back to the kohen, and the avoda could be kosher. So the Gemara was intrigued by this idea, essentially asking, well, why is it if once the kohen hands it off to apostle, does that not invalidate the avoda? Right? Does that not invalidate the avoda? Essentially, through the concept of dichui, setting it aside for. Now, let me say it differently. Once the kohen goes ahead and hands it off to someone who is a pasul, by definition, that should invalidate the avoda. And even if the pasul subsequently gives it back to the kohen, we have a general principle when it comes to sacrificial service that yesh dichui bar karbanos. In other words, once there's been an invalidating step, that invalidates the karban in its totality. And even if you try to backtrack and remedy that invalidating step, it doesn't work. So let's actually pick up Lamed Dalet Amud Beis 34b. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines are from the bottom. We actually did some of this Gemara, but it's an easy place to start. So the Gemara says, "Well, Rav Ashi Amar Kol Shebiyado Lo Havidichui." So we'll say ultimately again, Rav Ashi said that the truth is, anytime there is a concept of dichui. In other words, we'll say the Gemara wanted to suggest that maybe this our Mishnah reflects the view of Hanan HaMitzri. Hanan HaMitzri, you saw by the case of Yom Kippur, doesn't hold of dichui. Now the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, well, maybe there's a different issue. What's the other issue or the other possibility is kol shav yada lahavi dichui. In other words, any time that you have the ability to remedy the situation, so the process is not nidche. The process is not compromised. So ultimately, again, so Rav Shaya says that it would appear to be that Rav Ashi is correct. Because listen to this. Who is it that subscribes to the concept of dichui? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Disnan va'ot om Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Nishbach hadam yamos hamishtaliach. So remember again, we saw yesterday, if the blood of the Seir Lahashem spills, so the Mishtaliach has to be put to death. In other words, you have to take a new Mishtaliach as well. Mesa Mishtaliach Yishbach Adam. Same idea that if the Mishtaliach dies, so the Seir Lahashem also has to die. And yet what? Visham inon li da'amar kol shebiyado lo havidichui. Yet Rabbi Hud himself, Rabbi said, we learned that what? Any process over which you have control, it is not subject to the laws of dichoy. Where do we see that from? The sign Rabbi Hud Omer, kos echad hayom emale midama ta'aroves, v'zarko zvika achas keneged hayisod. Rabbi said, this is actually interesting. We're jumping from Pesach from Yom Kippur to Pesach. Then Rabbi said, after all of the karbanos Pesach were shechted, ultimately what would happen? The coin would take a cup of blood from the floor, and he would go ahead and pour that by the mizbeach, by the drain, by the base of the mizbeach. Shmuel and Rabbi said, now why would he do that? So interestingly enough, Rashi says over here, Keneged Hayisod, Lafuke Keren Dromis. So Rashi points out over here, the reason he would do that is in the event that for some reason, one of the karbanos didn't have the proper zrika, by taking the collected blood on the floor of the base hamikdash, he would, and pouring that on the mizbeach, that would effectively affect the zrika for any of the karbanos of Pesach that were not. Sorry, I'm not being clear this morning. By going ahead and picking up the blood from the mixture on the floor and by pouring that on the mizbeach, that would ensure that even if someone did not do a proper zrika, the kohen was doing it on his behalf right now. Shema Minu, Bose, what do you see from here? Kol shebiyado lo havidichui. Bose, what you see from here is something amazing. Even if you subscribe to the concept of yesh dichui bekarbanos, which means that if an invalidating step in a karban occurs, even if you try to backtrack it, ultimately, again, the carbon is still possible. Even if you subscribe to that idea, there is another follow-up idea, which is what Rabbi say, kol shebiyado lo havidichui, which means, if you have the ability to remedy it, then ultimately, again, the carbon is not set aside. Which Rabbi say, you have to understand, we have to paskin this way. Why do you have to paskin this way? Because Rabbi say, if it's true by karbanos, then ultimately, again, it's true by us as well. This concept is the very mechanism. This is the key to tshuva. Kol shebiyado lo havi dichui. It will say, because again, sometimes again, circumstances happen, you can't reverse. But kol shebiyado, as long as I could control it, as long as I can reverse the process, then lo havi dichui. If I could control the process, I could go ahead and write the karban. And if I could control the process, I could go ahead and write my life. An incredible yisod. So gufa, Tanya Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda says, so we're going back now and analyzing this piece. So Rabbi Huda Omer, kos echad hayim emali midamat haroves. So remember again, the Gemara just said before, that the after the all of the karbanos Pesach were shechted, after all the Pesachim were shechted, so the coin would go ahead, there was blood all over the floor. The coin would go ahead and scoop up a cup of blood from the mixtures of all of the karbanos. And what happens? That if inadvertently someone didn't end up doing zrika, right, because the blood spilled out of their cup, the coin now did zrika on their behalf. But one second, if the blood poured on the floor, so bepashtas again, it was never received in a kli. If it was never received in a kli, then how does your zrika help? So the Gemara says, "Mina yadi." I don't understand. How can you say that it wasn't accepted in the kli? It's just as possible or probable. That's what the person, the coin, right? They did the shechita, received the blood of the carbon pesach in the kli, and then in the rush to get to the mizbech, it poured down on the floor. So ultimately, again, so it's what he meant to say is it's possible that it wasn't received in the kli. So even Rabbi Huda says, you're right. This process only works if Atar Bosai. If there was proper shechita, there was proper kabbalah, it was received in a kli, and then on the way to the mizbeach, sometimes again things just get a little bit hectic, and the blood pours out of the kli. So how does Rabbi Huda know that the blood that they find on the floor was ultimately in the kli? Kohanim's reason, v'avdin hiya umishtapchin. Because ultimately, again, we believe that the Kohanim are zrizin, which means they do the avodah in the correct way. So if they did the avodah in the correct way, they had the blood get on the floor. Because it's a big rush. Karban Pesach also is a very hectic. You think Erev Pesach is hectic for us. Erev Pesach was much more hectic in the times of the Pesach Mikdash. So the Kohanim are running around, and what happens? In their effort to get to the Mizbeach quickly, although the Mishnah points out to both sides that there was an assembly line, right? But okay, but whatever it is, in a rush to get the blood there, it's spilled. I valo damatam tismu urav bo. But one second, on that blood on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not just dam chayo, right? It's not just dam, what we call dam hanefesh. It's not just the lifeblood. There's also what's called dam tzamtzis. We'll say dam tzamtzis is the residual blood. The blood that's left to, the dam hanefesh is the blood that spurts out of the animal upon shechita. But then even after that dam hanefesh is done, dam tzamtzis is the blood that trickles out. So how do you know that blood on the floor is dam hanefesh? That blood on the floor could just as easily be what? Dam tamtzis, and that's not roi for the mizbeach. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda tamei damar dama tamtzis kare dam. So we'll say it's okay. Rabbi Huda goes according to his reasoning because he holds dam tamtzis is also called dam disanya, dama tamtzis ba'ashara. So we'll say if a person consumes dam tamtzis in a state of tuma, that is a lav. Rabbi Huda or bekaris. Rabbi Huda says no. He actually gets kares. You see from here that Rabbi Huda holds that what dama tamtzis is called dam. I vam Rabbi Lazar. Mod Rabbi Huda le'inyan kapara she'ino mechaber. But Rabbi Lozer said that Rabbi Huda held that for kapara purposes, dam tamtzis, what we call residual blood, is not called blood. Shene emar ki adam hu anefesh, dam shanefesh yod sebo karoi dam. So Rabbi Lozer said blood, which the soul comes out with, which Rabbi Lozer says what we call the blood that spurts out when the animal is shechted, that's called dam. That's the dam that affects kapara. That's the dam that's put on the mizbeach. Dam she'in ha'nefesh yotzebo in karoi dam. But ultimately, again, blood, I will say, that's what? That the nefesh does not come out with, i.e. dam tamtzis, which is the residual blood, which trickles out after the animal is already dead. That's not called dam for kapara purposes. Ella Rabbi Huda l'tamei. So we'll say, so here are the shayla. The shayla is, the Gemara is describing over here on Erev Pesach, that what the Kohen does is, after everyone's cleared out of the Beis HaMikdash, and the floor is filled with blood, what he does is he takes, scoops up a cup of blood, which is supposed to be representative of the mixture of all of the bloods, of all of the offerings that were brought that day, and he pours it on the Mizbeach. Why does he do that? Or on the side of the Mizbeach. Why does he do that? In the event that someone didn't do a proper Zrika, this should count as the Zrika. So, okay, so now we're saying, point number one we've proven is that even if you hold normally dichui, so now what we've established is what? If you could remedy it, so there's no dichui, that's number one. We have a bigger problem, which is about to say there's a lot of blood mixed in there. And not all of that is dam anefesh. Some of that is dam tamtzis. If that's the case, how could the Kohen go ahead and pour it on the Mizbeach? To which, so answer number one was that even Rabbi Yehuda holds that dam tamtzis is called blood. That's fine, but dam tamtzis is not called atonement blood. Right? Only dam anefesh is. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Ever Rabbi Yehuda tamei da'amar, in dam mevatl dam. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that what? That one blood cannot negate the other blood. Therefore, even if there is some dam tamtzis mixed in there, that does not negate the fact that there is dam nefesh. Actually, Rashi points out to Rabosai that this is part of a bigger halachic construct of min bemino eino batl, that two like items cannot negate one another. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda allows for the mixture to be poured on the side of the mizbeach. Amar lehem Rabbi Yehuda, supposed to listen to this. So Rabbi Yehuda says to the Rabbanon, Ledivreichem, according to you, Lama Pokikin Hazar. And both say, now this is actually quite amazing. So on Erev Pesach, the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim discusses the idea that what they would do is, remember again, we discussed yesterday, there were two drains in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a drain in the Azara, in the courtyard, and there was a drain by the Mizbeach itself. So the Gemara says over here, Rabbi Yehuda says to the Rabbanon, why is it, according to you guys, that they plugged up the drain in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash? Why do you see, Rabbi Yehuda, according to me, it makes sense why they plugged up the drain. Why? Because this way, again, you have the accumulated blood. So when everybody's finished, the Kohen could scoop up the blood, pour it on the Mizbeach, and essentially affect the Zrika for anyone who did not do a proper Zrika. But according to you, Rabbanon, who said this doesn't work, why did they plug up the drain in the courtyard of Beis HaMikdash? This is amazing. So the Gemara says, Amr lo, shevachu libnei Aaron, sheyelchu ad akavo sehen bedam. This is actually quite amazing, because it is a great praise or a great covet for the sons of Aaron that they should walk up to their knees in blood. We'll say, on Erev Pesach, so there were so many animals which were slaughtered there. So the image over here is that the sons of Aaron, the Kohanim, should walk up into their knees in sacrificial blood. That is a great covet for Bnei Aaron. So the Gemara says, 1 second. The Gemara says, how could that be? But 1 sec, we already established that what? There could be nothing that interposes between the feet of the Kohanim and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. If you're up to their knees in blood, is that not a chatzitza? Lachu v'lo havi chatzitza. No, because it's a liquid, so liquid never forms a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, disnan, hadam v'adiyo v'hadvash v'achalav, that blood, ink, honey, milk, yevashin chotzitzin, if they're dry, they can form a chatzitza. Lochin in chotzitzin, but if they're moist, they don't form a chatzitza. Ay v'hok hamestavi ma'anayu. But 1 second, their clothing gets disgusting. In other words, if they're walking up to their knees in blood, so the clothing gets disgusting. And we learned, Utsnan, how you begot of mitushtashin v'avad avadosel psula. But say, remember again, if the clothing of the coin gets dirty, what happens? They have all this puzzle. We discussed this was a Mishnah. V'chitem of the midluz. Okay, so maybe you say, what do? They lift up the clothing. Right, so the Kohanim, when they're walking around, hold up their clothing. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. Votanyo, mido, right, mido, kimido so. Ultimately, again, the Pasuk says, Vosai mido, right, velakacha kohin mido bud. What does that teach us? Kimido so. That the clothing, we did the sugya, that the clothing of the Kohen have to fit him exactly, have to fit him perfectly. Shelo yachsar, shelo yosir. Ultimately, again, the clothing shouldn't be too long and the clothing shouldn't be too short. So what's interesting about this is as follows. What the Gemara now is teaching me is, not only is that a din in the objective measurements of the clothing, but that is a din as to how the clothing lays on the coin himself during the avoda. So meaning, again, it's not just enough to have the right measurements, but when doing the avoda, the clothing has to look as if it fits perfectly. Therefore, if you hold it up, I will say, then what's the problem? It looks short. So this is actually quite interesting. Not only must the clothing have the right measurements and dimensions, but the Kohen is not permitted to roll it up in the course of Avoda as well, because it looks ill-fitting. So the Gemara says, okay, it could be that we're talking about over here where the Kohen goes ahead and is taking the limbs of the carbon to the altar, which I will say in and of itself is not an avoda. Taking the limbs to the mizbeach is not an avoda. If it's not an avoda, then what? Then the Kohen can hike up the beged, because again, the assumption is the begadim are only ma'akiv when a person is doing an avoda. If the kohen is not doing an avoda, he can hike up the clothing. So the Gemara says, Aiva tanya, vikrev ha-kohen esakol, zuho locha sevam lekevesh. But one second, the pasuk, the Gemara darshins, we learned vikrev ha-kohen esakol, the kohen will offer up everything. That is a reference to taking the sacrificial limbs to the mizbeach. So you see from here that that is a form of avoda. Ela baholochas eitzim lema'aracha. Rather, what are we talking about? Where the kohen is taking the wood to the ma'aracha, to the pyre on the mizbeach. Dilav avodahi. Because we'll say this is not an avoda, therefore what? Therefore the kohen would be permitted to go ahead and lift up his clothing while doing this. Ula avoda, I'm sorry, dilav avodahi. Ula avoda hechiazli. So we'll say, okay, so that's fine. Then I'm back to our original question. So at the end of the day, we have a problem. You're telling me that we're plugging up the drain in the Azarn Erev Pesach so that the kohen should walk up to his knees in blood, right? The problem is if he walks up to his knees in blood, then what? His clothing is dirty. If his clothing is dirty, the avodah is pasul. So the only other remedy is what? Hike up the clothing. Pull it, you can pull it up. Can't do that either. Why? Because I will say that seems to be in violation of Mido. So okay. So for a non-essential avodah, that's fine. He can pull up his clothing. What about for everything else? So let's listen to this. So la avodah hechi azli, or hechi azli, azli itztivi. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what they had over here, we'll say, Rashi says, itztivi, he says, it's taba'us givon hayusham binyan avanim v'nechotetin. So apparently, I don't know if they brought this in special or this was always there. They had certain raised stones on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so those raised stones, isn't that a chatzitza? No. Why? Because since it's part of the stones, therefore by definition it's the same floor. So apparently, again, they had part of the floor which was raised, which allowed the kohen to essentially walk on an elevated way over all of the blood. Quite amazing. We actually saw this Mishnah before. Person does the shechita. We'll say a person does the shechita. And when he does the shechita, he has in mind to what? To consume it, chutz limkomo, chutz lizmano. But he has a mind to do that with a part of the karban that's not normally consumed. Right? Ulahakdir davar shein darko lahakdir. Or for that matter, he has in mind to burn part of the karban, chutz lizmano, chutz limkomo, with something that is not normally burned. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Kasher. Ultimately, again, the covenant is kasher, what I was saying. Because again, you can only create a psul if what? If you're doing it with something that is normally consumed or normally burned. But if the item is not normally consumed or normally burned, then halacha lemaisa, you can't invalidate. Rabbi Eliezer posel. But Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says no, that ultimately, again, the carbon will be posel. Le'echol davar shedarko le'echol. Ulahakdir davar shedarko lahakdir pachos mikizayis. But it's like case number two. I'm doing the shechita, and I have in mind to eat something out chutz lizmano chutz limkomo, or to burn something chutz lizmano chutz limkomo. But what? I have in mind only on pachos mikizayis, on half a kizayis, let's say. So we'll say, so less than the shear. So what's the halacha again? Kosher. We'll say, so again, remember, one is only chayiv if one goes ahead and consumes or burns a kizayis of the carbon chutz lizmano chutz limkomo. So therefore, if my kavona is for pachos mikizayis, the carbon is still kosher. Lechol kichatz izayis ulahakdir kichatz izayis. So we'll say, what about the following case? I have in mind to eat half a kizayis and to burn half a kizayis. Chutz lizmano chutz limkomo. Still, the carbon is kosher. Why? Shein achila v'haktara mitzdarfin. Because ultimately, again, burning and consumption do not form together to form a kizayis of iser. Hashochet es hazevach lechol kizayis min ha'ar. So let's do this last case. I shech the carbon with the intention of osai. Again, remember, these are all chutz lizmano, chutz limkomo kavanas. So I shech the carbon with the intention lechol kizayis min ha'ar, to eat a kizayis of the hide, min harotov, or from the gravy, min hakifra. We'll say kifra means the residue that's on the bottom of the pot. We'll see these cases. Min ha'alal. Rashi says alal over here means gid hatsavar sheikasha ve'in roi lachila. The sinew in the neck, which is tough and not really fit for consumption. So we'll say umina atzamos, or from the bones, umina gidin, from the sinews, umina karnayim, umina tlafayim, or from the horns or from the hoofs, chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo kasher. So we'll say, what's the common denominator in all of these things? They're not really considered ra'i la'achila. So therefore, again, if I have in mind to eat a kizayis of a part of the animal, chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo, that is not really fit for consumption, kasha. So we say kasha means that thought does not invalidate the karban. Similarly, vein chayav and aleiam mishum pigol v'noser v'tamei. Simon Derbo said that I would not be chayav for any of these things, any of these aforementioned parts of the animal, for pigol. In other words, we'll say I can't make it pigol v'noser if it's left over after the prescribed time and I eat it. I'm not in violation of noser v'tamei. And if I go in and consume it in a state of tumo, ultimately again it will not be chayav as well. Hashochit es hamukdoshin le'achol shalil or shalya b'chutz l'pigol. This is actually an interesting case. If I shech the carbon. And my kavana is to what? To eat the shalil, which means the fetus, or shalya. Both say shalya means the afterbirth. And I have in mind to eat that chutz lim komo, lo pigel. Ultimately, again, it doesn't make the carbon pigel. So we'll say this is actually very, very important. This is actually very important. The halacha is, what the Mishnah is teaching me is that the fetus, as well as the afterbirth, is not considered to be part of the guf of the carbon itself. Rashi actually says this explicitly. Lo pigel es hazevach delav gufei dizvichohu. It's not really part of the, it's not really part of the body of the animal. So because of that, even if what? Even if I have explicit intent to eat it, chutz lizmano, at the end of the day, that does not make the carbon pigel. Incredible. Hamolik es atorin lechol beitzein b'chutz. But I say similarly again, if I do malika with the intention of what? I do malika with the intention ultimately of eating the eggs. Chutz lizmano, chutz limkomo, lo pigel. Same idea, I do not go ahead and make the carbon pigel. I don't make the carbon pigel. Fine, let me make the carbon pigel. Chelev hamukdashin. Ubeit seitorin. So we'll say the chalev ultimately again, not the chalev, sorry, this is actually chalav. The milk of the carbon, which refers over here to the milk inside of the carbon itself right now, the milk inside of the animal. So Rashi says, shebidada, in the udders, right? In the milk, in the udders of the animal, or beits, I'm sorry, ubeit seitorin, or the eggs of the dove. One is not chayev ultimately again regarding them for pigol, no sar and tamei. So it's actually quite interesting. So what it turns out is that halacha lemaisa, the status of the fetus as well as the afterbirth is not considered to be part and parcel of the animal itself. Therefore, any invalidating machshava regarding those items does not invalidate the karban. Incredible. We'll say let's start the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, pigel bezevach nispagel hashalil b'shalil. Now we'll say, now Rabbi Elazar says, interestingly enough, that this relationship works in different ways. If a person has a machshavas pigel by a karban, so we'll say, so what does that do? That goes ahead and nispagel hashalil. So we'll say, once you have a pigel machshava regarding the animal, every part of the animal becomes pigel, including what? Including the fetus. Including the fetus. On the other hand, b'shalil lo nispagel hazevach. Well, see, on the other hand, if you have machshavas pigel, ultimately, again, by the fetus, that does not invalidate the animal. Pigel b'zevach, nispagel ha-shalil, b'shalil lo nispagel ha-zevach. Similarly, pigel ba'alal, both say if a person has in mind to eat that alal, remember again, according to Rashi, the alal is that tough sinew, right? That tough gid in the neck of the animal, it's not really edible. So nispagla mora'a. Ultimately, again, morah bosei is like the crop, the stomach of the bird. Bimorah bosei, now this is talking about the alal of a bird. Rashi points out over here that the alal of a bird, Rashi says, shel of ra'i la'achilahu dirachich. So apparently, again, we'll say in an animal, a behemoth, so the alal is inedible. In a bird, it's edible. So a person has a machsheves pigel by the alal. That also goes ahead and invalidates the rest of the animal as well. Bimora, or I should say the crop. We'll say the crop is like the stomach of the bird. Bimora lo nispagya alal. But if you have machsheves pigel by the stomach, that does not invalidate the alal. Pigel be'imurin, we'll say if a person has a machshavas pigel by the imurin, we'll say, so this Rashi points out to me as referring to a specific case. Look at Rashi, pigel be'imurin, shachat parim hanisrafim, amenas lahaktir imurein chutz lizmanas. We'll say, this is talking about the special par karbanos, like the par he'elam davar min hatzibor, the par kohen gadol, right? The special, usually those are offerings for in situations where someone of authority, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Someone of authority has gone ahead and instructed Klal Yisrael incorrectly. Klal Yisrael followed the ruling of Zapar. Or someone of great authority, like the Melech, or like the king, himself has done something wrong, there is the special par offering. So we'll say, watch this. So pagal be'imurin. So we'll say, let's say when offering up a par, I go ahead and have a machshava to offer up the imurin, the sacrificial parts, chutz lizmanon, right? Or chutz limkoman, nispaglu, they become pigal. Biparim. But say, if on the other hand, ultimately again, I have machshavas pigal, ultimately again, which also means I have in mind to eat the flesh outside of the prescribed time, then lo nispaglu imurin. Ultimately, again, the sacrificial parts do not become pigal. But say, why not? Because in that case over here, I've been having in mind to eat the par outside of the prescribed time. But say, there's only one issue, which is you don't eat of the flesh of the par, right? The ultimately, again, the par is just offered up on the mizbeach. So therefore, again, halacha lemaaseh, if I have the wrong machshava by the consumption of the par, that does not make anything pigal. Let me say, but say, let's bring a raya to this. The shavim, everyone agrees, shinchishev ba'achilas parim ubisreifasan, lo asav lo klum, that if a person has a machshavas pigol when it comes to consumption of the par or by burning it, ultimately again you don't do anything. Or as we'll say, meaning it hasn't affected any change. The only time you could create pigol is if you have in mind to do something illegal with the actual imurin. My love, ha'chashiv be'imurin is paglu parim. But say, can we not infer from this that if you had a machshavas pigol with the imurim, which are the sacrificial parts, then ultimately again the par becomes pigol? To which the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily, on the days. Lo, ha'chishav be'imurin is paglu imurin asman. All the teachers as well say is that what? When it comes to the par, if you have an explicit machshavas pigol by the imurin, so you have in mind, when shechting the karban, I have in mind to offer up the sacrificial parts chutz lizmanon at a later date, we'll say, what does that do? That invalidates the karban. Tashma, so we'll say, let's analyze this a bit more. So Tashma, parim hanisrafim, usirim hanisrafim, moalin bahem mishok tishur. So listen to this. Any par that is consumed on the mizbeach, and any seir which is consumed on the mizbeach, molin by Rabbi say ultimately again they are subject to the laws of mi'ilah as soon as they have been made hegdish. Nishchatu, once they've been shechted, hukshiru lipasal b'tvul yom u'mukhusar kipurim u'balina. Ultimately, Rabbi say once they've been shechted, then they have the ability to go ahead and contract tumah. How? If ultimately, again, a tvul yom, someone, remember I was saying, tvul yom is someone who went to the mikvah, but is waiting for Harav Shemesh. V'chusr kipurim is someone who still requires karbanos to be offered on his behalf. And lina, I was saying, lina means leaving overnight. So if any of these individuals touched the karban, once the karban has been shechted, it becomes tummy. Or lina means you leave it overnight, it becomes tummy. My lav lina's basar. But say, are we not talking about where you're leaving over the meat? Ushmamina, migo de paslo balina, pasaba machshava. And I will say, what do we see from here? That since the carbon can become pasal ultimately with lina, ultimately again it could become pasal with machshava, with an erroneous thought as well. To which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Rashi also, just a moment. My lab linas basar, katani sheim lan nifsal, guadin machshavas lina, sheposelas bebasar. Bless you. So let's say, so again, what do we see from here? It must be again that we're talking about the leaving over of the meat. And the same way that that leaving over of the meat ultimately creates psul, so let's say ultimately again, so to a machshava of lina, right? Even having an intent of lina also will invalidate the karban. To which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Lo, linas emurin. Ultimately, we're not talking about leaving over of the meat, rather, what are we talking about? Leaving over of the sacrificial parts. I, Hamid Diktani Seifa, Kulan Molin Bahen, Abes Hadeshen, Ad Sheyusa Chabasa. But look at the end of that braisa, where the braisa says that all of them are subject to Mi'ilah. Right? Akmolin Bahen, Abes Hadeshen. Even to Bose, Abes Hadeshen is where ultimately, again, they would remove the ash. Ad Sheyusa Chabasa, until the meat totally becomes charred and unrecognizable. Michlav Dereisha, Linas Basar. We'll say that would seem to indicate to us, if the Seifa is talking about Linas Basar, or so ultimately again it would seem to be that the Reisha should be as well, to which the Gemara says, Mide Iria, not necessarily, Haki di Isa Bahaki di Isa. We'll say ultimately again we could be referring to both the Reisha and Seifa could be referring to two different things. Reisha Imurim, we'll say the first part of the Mishnah is referring ultimately again to leftover limbs, right? Or I should say the sacrificial parts. Seifa Basar. Ultimately, the Seifa is referring to the actual meat itself. Mosiv Rava. So Rava says, 1 second, I have a kasha on that. Ve'elu she'in mifaglin, ve'in mispaglin. Both say, so these are the things. Rabbi say mifaglin and mispaglin means as following. These are the things Rabbi say that can become pigol, and that ultimately, again, a machshava regarding them ultimately creates pigol. What are the things Rabbi say? Tsemer sheberoshe kvasim, the wool on the head of sheep. Viser shebezakin tiyashim, or the literally the hair in the hair and the beard of a tayush, of a goat or of a ram. V'ha'or, the hide. Vaharota of the gravy, vahakipa, we'll say kipa is whatever is the residue in the pot. So vaha'ala, we'll say ala we saw is the sinew in the neck. Vahamora, by birds the crop. Vaha'atsamos, and the bones. Vahagidin, the sinews. Vahakarnayim, the hooves. The horns. Vahatalfayim, the hooves. Vahashalil, the fetus. Vashulya, the afterbirth. When we say afterbirth, what that really refers to is the placenta. Vachalav hamukdashin, and ultimately, again, milk that is in a consecrated animal. Ubeitse torin, and the eggs of the turtle doves. Kulan lo mifaglin velo mispaglin. We'll say all of these items ultimately, again, are not subject to the laws of pigol et al, which means they don't become pigol, and a thought regarding them ultimately, again, does not affect pigol. Ve'in chayovin alein mishum pigol, nosar vitame. And therefore, again, one is not chayiv for these items regarding nosar pigol and tame. Right? If you leave it over, you're not, in all these cases, they will not be a chayiv. To which the Gemara says, v'hamala mehen bechutz, and Rabbi say, listen to this. If you offer up any parts, so we'll say, all these are parts of the sacrificial animal. If you were to take any one of these parts and offer it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what would be the halacha? Potter. Potter, which also makes sense. If it's not part of a karban, then by definition, it is not subject to the laws of the Torah prohibition of being offered up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, my love, lo mefaglin hazevach, v'lo mespaglin machma zevach. The Bosei, does this not mean that ultimately, again, lo mifaglin, the Bosei means that if you have a machshava regarding one of these items, it does not render the carbon pigle. So we'll say, for example, if I have an mshechtian carbon, I have in mind to eat the fetus 3 days from now, that doesn't make the carbon pigle. Furthermore, v'lo mispaglin machmas zebach. And I will say, what else should it mean? Does it not mean that also, if I have a machshavas pigle by the carbon, even though the carbon is subject to pigle, what? The items inside, these items listed, do not become pigle as a result of a carbon. To which the Gemara says, lo mefaglin as hazevach, v'lo mispaglin machmas atzman. We'll say, rather, what it means is as follows. That ultimately, again, if you have machshavas pigle regarding any of these items, we'll say the items you just listed above, the horns, and the hooves, and the milk, and the fetus, and the placenta. So what it means is as follows. Lo mefaglin as hazevach, that I will say, if I have machshavas pigle regarding any of these items, that machshavas pigle regarding one of these items does not make the carbon itself pigle. And furthermore, again, v'lo mespaglin machmas atzman. But I'll say, not only that, but even if you have an explicit machshavas pigle regarding what? Regarding one of these items, it also doesn't become pigle. So we'll say, not only does a machshavas pigle about, let's say, let's just use the fetus, for example. Not only does a machshavas pigle regarding the fetus not make the carbon pigle, but what, Rabbi say? But what? It doesn't even make the fetus itself pigle. Ihachi, hadik tani seifa, kulan lo mispaglin v'lo mispaglin. So I don't understand, if that's the case, then why does the Sefer need to make this statement? Why do I need that additional statement? Or the Tameh, most according to that logic, Ein chayavin alav mishum pigo hasulamali. Why do I need that? Most like first wide line lam in him days. Why do I need that statement of Ein chayavin alav mishum pigo? Ela aidi deboi le misna nosar v'tameh tana pigo. So we'll say, rather, again, this is really just to preserve a certain sense of Mishnaic symmetry. Since the Mishnah ultimately needed to write no sar and tame, therefore we also once again re-included pigol. Hachanami aidi debay lemisne hama'ala mehen bachutz. So we'll say, so too, again, at the end of the Mishnah, or end of the Brayso, we wanted to say that if you offer any of these items up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that you're not going to be chayiv. Tananami v'chula lo mefaglin v'lo mespaglin. Ultimately, again, it teaches us that what? That's why I will say all of them neither become pigol or are able to affect pigol on behalf of other things as well. So I will say, so interestingly enough, interestingly enough, so what comes out of what I'll say is as follows. That we now have an entire list of items that are not considered to be part of the carbon proper. They're not part of the carbon proper. So we'll say, so now the interesting part is, so what happens with them vis-a-vis pigul? So what it seems to come out of what I'll say is as follows. If you go ahead and you have in machshavas pigul regarding any of these items, we'll call it any items in the fetus category. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? The halacha is a machshavas pigul about those items certainly does not make the carbon pigul. Not only that, Rabbi Yosef, what happens? A machshavas pigul regarding those items does what? Doesn't even make the item itself pigul. But yet, Rabbi Yosef, if you have a machshavas pigul about the carbon itself, then what? Then what? Everything is pigul. So in an interesting halacha regarding machshavas pigul, which makes sense, if you go and you have machshavas pigul regarding the animal, animal does include everything in it. Even though, again, halachically, many of these items are reckoned separate and distinct. So machshavas pigul regarding anything in the fetus item, in the fetus category, so machshavas pigul regarding the fetus doesn't become pigul. Machshavas pigul regarding the fetus doesn't make the carbon pigul, but machshavas pigul regarding the animal makes even everything in the fetus category pigul as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rava Amar, what's that third wide line? Rava Amar, afana namitanina, hashokit esamukdoshin leachol shalosh shalya b'chod. So also listen to this. If a person ultimately, again, person shechts a carbon to eat with the intention to eat the shalosh, the fetus, or the placenta outside of the Beis HaMikdash, lo pigel. We'll say that doesn't make the carbon pigel. So, v'hamolik es ha-torem le'achol ha-beitzim b'chutz, lo pigel. Ultimately, similarly, again, a person does malika. We'll say, remember again, birds don't have shechita. In the Beis HaMikdash, they have malika. So a person, the kohen, does malika with the intention to eat the eggs of the turtle dove outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, lo pigel. Doesn't make it pigel. V'hadr tani, but yet then afterwards it says, chalav ha-mukdashinu beitzei torim, ein chayv alamishum pigel. No saru tame, but yet then what does the Mishnah say? That the blood, excuse me, that the milk within a carbon or the eggs of the bird are not chai because of pigul. But yet it doesn't repeat the shalil and the shalya. What could we infer from that? Hal shalil v'shaye chayovim. So Bosa, it sounds like according to that second statement that one would be chai for pigul, ultimately again for the shalil and the shalya. Elash mamina kan machmas hazevach. Kan machmas atzman shemamin rabosa. Rather, again, what do you see from here? There's a distinction. Ultimately, again, when the machshavas pigul is on the carbon, so then what? Everything becomes pigul, including the shalil, the shalya, the karnayim, the talfayim, everything in that category. But yet what? So that's what it means, machmas hazevach. If the carbon is becoming pigul, then every part of the animal becomes pigul with it. Kan machmas atzman. On the other hand, if halacha lemaisa, again, I'm making the individual item, the machshavas pigul is on the individual item, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, that item does not become pigul. Good. We'll say, so that is indeed halacha lemaisa. If we'll call it any item in the shalil or shilya category, the fetus or placenta category, a machshavas pigul regarding the item specifically doesn't make the carbon pigul. A machshavas pigul regarding the item specifically doesn't make the carbon as a whole pigul, but a machshavas pigul regarding the carbon will make everything pigul. I'm about to say that is halacha lemaisa. Tanan hasam. We'll say, let's at least begin this. Tanan hasam. Uba'ali mumin. So we'll say, but when it comes to ba'ali mumin, Rabbi Akiva machshir be'ba'ali mumin. Then ultimately, again, we'll say, so what is this referring to over here? Take a look. Take a look at, take, well, yeah, so we're actually talking about over here a placement of sacrificial limbs on the Mizbeach itself. So Rashi points out over here, no, not yet. Not yet. Fine, so let's just read it. So, Tanahasam, Bali Mumin. We'll say, what about animals that are Bali Mumin? Rabbi Kiva Machshir. Rabbi Kiva says, ultimately, again, that the halacha is that if you put limbs of a carbon that was a Bal Mum on the Mizbeach, you need not take it down. Even though a Bal Mum shouldn't be offered up, but if you put the limbs on the Mizbeach, there is an obligation to take them off. But Rabbi Yochanan qualifies this. What type of Bal Mum does Rabbi Akiva say is kasher? We'll say Beduki Shabbat, we'll say, you know what Beduki Shabbat Ayin is? It all often translates as cataracts. The idea being it has a mum, but it's a totally unrecognizable mum. That's the type of Bal Mum that Rabbi Akiva says, that if the limbs were accidentally placed on the Mizbeach, there is no obligation to go ahead and take it off. Right? Well, like, first of all, also because such a mum is not a mum by ophos. It's only a mum by behemos, not a mum by ophos. But with one more caveat. But that is assuming that what? That the animal was kodesh, the animal was consecrated before the mum. In other words, we'll say if the mum was there first, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you got to take the limbs off. If the animal was consecrated, the mum subsequently developed, and it's a type of mum that essentially is unrecognizable and kosher in other circumstances, then you could leave the limbs there. Umod Rabbi Akiva ba'olas nekeva, dikeman dekadam muma lehekdisha dami. And Rabbi Akiva Rabosa agrees that in the case of a female animal that is offered up as an ola, so the limbs have to be removed from the Mizbeach, because that is the equivalent of a mum that came before the consecration. I will say, what does that mean? Because remember, halacha l'maaseh, an ola is from a male animal. If you bring the wrong gender, Rabbi Osai, that is like what? That is like a pre-existing condition, a pre-existing mum, and therefore, ultimately, again, the animal is going to be puzzle to be offered up. I will say, you know what, we'll stop over here for today. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.